So I want to start in prayer because this topic, some of you have heard this before. And I just continue to read on the subject, continue to listen to people's questions and think through what are the real issues. Because in counseling, as you know, if they're not making decisions according to Scripture, you're going to keep seeing them. They're going to be repeat disciplees. They're just going to keep coming back with more issues because they're not making decisions biblically. And so there's a place where you're going to have to encourage them to read or go over a few principles with them to help them with how to make decisions that bring glory to God on a daily basis. But I want to pray first because we want to be teachable to the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit might have His way. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. We thank You that You are so good to us. And again, we want to, as we sang that song, it again reminds us of the gospel. We're redeemed. And it was nothing in and of ourselves. It was purely Your love set upon us for to the praise of Your glory. And so, Lord, help us today to all the decisions that we have to make today, hundreds, maybe thousands of decisions, that we might think biblically and think in a way that Your Spirit, using Your Word, helps us in all of the decisions, whether through proclamation or principle from Your Word. And help us to be gentle and kind with those who may take different positions. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to start with the importance of decision-making in our daily life. And if you were just to think through how many decisions you've already made, and it's only 8:40 in the morning, you had to make several this morning, whether you're going to get up, whether you're going to hit the snooze alarm again and again, whether you were going to let the weather be a deterrent to coming here, but then you had to think, well, I paid for the conference, so... And on it goes. And I mean, we make so many decisions. If you went to breakfast, you know, and depending on what they had, we make decisions from sometimes not the weightiest issues to some very weighty issues on whether to get married or who to marry or do we have more children or are we moving, relocating? Should we take this position or that? I mean, there's some weighty decisions that affect numerous people in your life. But I have been collecting over the years, I just continue to see them, collect them, all kinds of illustrations of the way evangelicals make decisions. And some of them, and you say, well, that's pretty bizarre, some of the ways that they make decisions. But you know, I find in every church individuals making decisions in ways that I want to ask them, could you repeat that again? And sometimes they're pillars in the church. They've been there since the inception of the church. They're your older, older men, older women, and they're the ones discipling the younger women and men on how to live the Christian life, and then you hear what they're telling them, and you're saying, I'm not sure. I mean, I believe in Titus 2 ministries, but we need to have the right people discipling the others. At Grace Church, a few years before I got there, one of the associate pastors was counseling a married couple who were struggling in their marriage and always had been since the inception of that marriage. And so the associate pastor asked the couple how in the world they ever decided to marry in the first place. And so the couple, the husband, said, well, we were getting counseling as we weren't engaged yet. We were wondering whether we should marry, and they had gone to another pastor at another church. And this is what the pastor told the young man who was sitting in his office with his girlfriend. The pastor told the young man of how Joshua and the Jews marched around Jericho several times. And then the pastor suggested that the boyfriend literally walk around his girl several times. And if the walls of her heart collapsed, then he would be sure that God wanted him to take her for his wife. No horn included, just walk around. So he obeyed. He circled the girl several times. He popped the question, "Have the walls of your heart tumbled?" And she responded by saying she felt strange inside. And so they concluded. Her heart had fallen in love, and so they made plans then to marry. Now here's one from J. Haddon Robinson's book. A woman was wondering whether to visit some relatives out in California. You'll realize that some of these illustrations all have California, something to do with California. When I went out there, one of the elders at the elder meeting, as I was being interviewed, said, how do you think you'll adjust to the land of the fruits and nuts? So this lady was wondering whether God wanted her to visit some of her relatives in California. So she was on her knees praying, and she looked up and saw the digital clock, and it read 7:47. And she knew that was a kind of aircraft, and sure that God was talking to her through the numbers on the face of the clock. And J. Haddon Robinson says, "I would have been more impressed if the clock had read 7:67. Or DC 10. In a book very popular some years ago, before the whole Gwen Shamblin way down diet was a disaster, this book was very popular called Free to Be Thin. And in chapter 3, it says we need to know what God wants us to weigh, how much we're to weigh, and how much we're supposed to eat. And so this is the prayer that these two women suggest that you pray. And this is all, you know, Christian-type literature. Here's the prayer. "Father, in the name of Jesus, I need specific guidance and direction in my life right now regarding my eating habits. You can see I need your help in losing the extra pounds on my body. Show me your will. Please speak to me and show me how much weight you want me to lose." Now, I would suggest don't be on your knees looking at a digital clock. "How much do you want me to weigh? And how many calories I need to eat each day? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So now they're waiting for some sort of communication, some sort of voice or impression. Speaking of impressions, this was a book published some years ago. Is out of print now in God's providence. It's called Impressions, From God or Satan and How to Know the Difference. And recommended by Dr. Dobson. He says it's the best book I've seen on the subject of God's will. Now, this is the... Listen to this. How to know whether an impression is from God or Satan. This is what he says. "You can detect the devil by one or two things. The devil always talks loud. Jesus always talks low and tender. So when a spirit makes an impression on my mind, that impression can be made in a loud, boisterous, rushing sort of way, or the conviction can come quietly, gently, and sweetly. When the devil makes an impression on people's hearts, and when he speaks to the soul, he talks loudly." So if it's a loud impression, it's of the devil. If it's a soft one, it's of the Lord. Now, where are they misusing a verse there, a passage? Where is he getting that? Yeah, when Elijah... Remember the still, small voice. Well, you have to keep reading the scriptures and figure out that Jesus taught thousands with no microphone around the Sea of Galilee, and I don't think he was whispering. But that whole issue of how to... It's so subjective on this issue of impressions. Are you familiar with promise boxes? Do you know what promise boxes are? These little... look like a loaf of bread on your table. And it's verses that are just cut out, and you it's sort of like the evangelical fortune cookie. Yeah. And you pick it out, and you read it, and it's like, claim this for the day. All right. So I remember those things growing up, of seeing those. Well, someone on my birthday at a Grace Church, one of the members thought they were, and they were very kind, they bought me a promise calendar.